Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you on the last radio broadcast of 2018. Man, this year has gone by very swiftly, hasn't it? And we realize that that's just the way life is, that it's very swift. But I'm glad you joined me this morning, and you joined me either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Some of you join me by way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. I welcome you. Those that tuned in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. I welcome you. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you to the service as well. Others are tuning in or listening by the way of my storage place. And the way you get to my storage place is I have a website called PastorKenHarger.com. And then you click onto the page that says media storage for my radio broadcast. And then you can click on the earphones and listen. Or you just, but or else you can download it, whichever you so desire to do. May not be any earphones on there. Just click on it and it'll start playing, okay? Whatever way you joined me, I'm so glad that you're a part of the broadcast this morning and glad to be a part of my life and your life and our life touching each other this morning. And that's something that is very special. I don't know how many of you got me tuned in this morning. I do know that I meet people often and they say they listen every Sunday morning, so I appreciate that. I have no faces in front of me. I just got this. I'm coming to you from the lighthouse, and I've got this great big 358-acre ice cube out in front, and there's nobody on the ice right now. It's a Wednesday evening that I put the service together. Because of Christmas, I run a little bit behind. Well, that's enough of that. I want to take a moment to wish you and yours a very happy new year and God's richest blessing to be upon you as we start 2019. And I got to tell you, folks, I got a whole brand new year ahead of us, we trust, and God's blessing to be upon us. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of the broadcast time. So I want to start with Gay London this morning in memory and honor of her husband, Dave. She is from Greenville. And then Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she lives in Orleans. And to Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area, to Bell and Judy Hammond from the building area, and to Marie Vard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, and she lives in Dayton, Tennessee. So I appreciate all of those that's making it possible for me to continue another year with this broadcast time together, and we're looking forward to that. I really appreciate K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music all last year, and she's working it on again for 2019, so I appreciate that very much. You know, folks, I normally give you an invitation to the Shiloh Community Church, and I want to do that, but I want to mention something that's coming up in the second Sunday of January 2019. Every year, we do a memorial service, and this year, it'll be on the New Year's memorial service. It'll be January 12th on a Saturday night at 6:30, Sunday morning, January 13th, at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then at 10:45 at the Shiloh campus. It's our annual memorial service where we remember those who have passed away in 2018. I will be doing the speaking, and we will conclude with a service which gives you an opportunity to conclude the service, giving you an opportunity to light, you as an individual, your family, to light a candle in memory of your loved one that passed away. So mark your calendar, if you would. And then in the Greenville campus, it won't be the memorial service, just in the building service, but that service is always at 11 o'clock. And this is the same service times that we have for this coming weekend as well. Well, I think that takes care of that part that I wanted to make sure you do. That memorial service is, I've been doing it for many, many years, and it's been always something very special whereby we can give a little comfort and encouragement to those that's in the grieving process. This year myself, as a pastor, I did 97 funerals, 97 families I was with going through the grieving process of a death of one of their loved ones. And this year, for something different, we had three husbands and wives that died within the same year, and one of them only just a little over 30 days apart from one another. So death is a painful thing, folks, and I believe this service helps. So I give you an invite to mark it on your calendar for the 12th or the 13th, whichever time you can come, and we're looking forward to God's blessing. Well, I hope you and yours had a very Merry Christmas. We did. We had a kind of a quiet Christmas, and that was very nice because I had been so busy up until Christmas time, so it was very nice having a quiet Christmas. I got the opportunity to play the part of a shepherd on the Christmas Eve service, and I really enjoyed that. And the church was full, so that was a pretty special blessing for me as an individual. We had Lizzie the sheep there, and she was in I've done that with her about four times now, I believe, and so it was something that was very, very special to me. But as we think about this new year, getting ready for this new year, we need to realize that God wants us to know that He's going to go with us through this entire year. And, you know, there's a lot of things that God said, and there are promises that He's given to us. And sometimes we need something that is a promise that God's given to us as we end a year and as we begin a brand new year fresh from the hand of God. And as we do that, I want us to listen to this song that's just saying, you got to have some God said it. You got to have something in your mind and in your heart that you know is a promise that you're hanging on to, and you're just trusting the Lord to bring about the best results in your life. So let's listen in. I'll be right back in a few moments.
Noah began to build the boat because he knew he'd heard from God. Moses stood on the Red Sea banks watching the waters part. Even Balaam got a word. It sure seemed absurd from the most unusual place. And the Hebrew boys up and walked away from the fiery furnace that day. You gotta hear the God said to walk on the raging sea. Said and what God said
says it all for me.
Busted and disgusted, failed on every hand, trying to get to the top of the hill, living on the word of man. Change your direction, live in subjection to the word that comes from God.
Ready for a brand new start.
You gotta hear the
God said
to walk on the raging sea.
You gotta hear the God said
and act on what He speaks. God said it.
God said it.
I believe it.
I believe it.
That settles it for me.
I believe I got a
God said and what God said
says it all.
Says it all for me.
God said it, and I love that idea that You got to get a God centered. You know, I think that's what Christmas was all about, is a realization that God set it to each and every one of us, the idea of his blessing upon our life. I love what he said to the angels, and I want to repeat that because Christmas isn't that far gone. My lights are still burning of my manger scene and on my home and so on. But you know, I like the idea of what the angels said to the shepherds. Be not afraid. I bring you good news, which is for all people. For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. God said it. The angel said it. This one Jesus came into the world. And while he came into the world, that he might give us life and give us the forgiveness of sin and give us something to hang on to as we go through this world. You know, one of the parts that I want to do with the Christmas story that I really wanted to tie into the message this morning, because my message this morning is entitled, Now is the Time. Have you noticed that there's certain things that happen in certain periods of time of your life? You know, in the Old Testament, God says there's a time to everything under the heavens. He reminds us there's a time to plant seeds, there's a time to harvest. There's a time to speak, and there's a time to be silent. He reminds us there's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. All of that is the time that he's talking about. So now is the time. I think when I come to the Christmas message, one of the things that I've really liked about the Christmas message is I think there was the very first now is the time in Jesus' life. Probably all of us have had the very first of many. Now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. We gotta operate. We gotta move right now. Now's the time. And you know, for baby Jesus, it was now is the time for baby Jesus to go to the temple. He was about 8 years, He was about 8 days old. You know, I believe parenting is a challenge to any family. But imagine having the responsibility of raising God's own son. Joseph and Mary had that awesome task, and the Bible clearly shows us that they made every effort to do it right. When Jesus was still a tiny baby, 8 days old, Mary and Joseph followed the Jewish laws by taking Jesus to the temple. They were taking him there to present him to the Lord and to make an offering of sacrifice because of their obedience. Of their obedience to the laws of that period of time. And because of their obedience, they met a man by the name of Simeon. Let me share it with you from the scripture. Now, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was completed, they brought him, Jesus, to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the laws of the Lord. Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout. He was waiting for this coming of the consolation of Israel, because he had been told by the Holy Spirit that he was not going to taste of death until he seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple that day, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do to him according to the custom of the laws, he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for mine eyes have seen your salvation. What a beautiful divine appointment early on in the life of the Lord Jesus. I don't believe that was there just for the Lord Jesus as much as it was for Mary and Joseph. They've been hearing things as a shepherd came and told them about what the angel had said and about how this one was to bring glory to God in the highest in our lives and peace on earth and goodwill toward man. I love it that Mary and Joseph were obedient to God and what his word had told them that they should do. So they brought the baby Jesus to the temple. I believe it goes on much deeper than that, because there was a man in Jerusalem that they needed to meet, and he needed to meet them. I call those times divine appointments. Special divine appointments that's been orchestrated by God himself. I believe this was a big hug from God to both Mary and Joseph. When he saw the baby Jesus, he said, "You know what? Lord, now I can die in peace. Your servant can go now. I can die in peace." That's the first one where we realize that the difference that Jesus makes is not only in life, but the difference Jesus makes is in death itself. You know, it's good to know that God is with us. But I love Psalm 23 because it tells us that he's provided everything that we need for life, to get through this life. We shall not lack for anything, he says. But then he goes on to say those verses that I have in my heart so many times this year. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And that's what this man Simeon is saying. He said, "Now this servant of yours can die in peace. I've seen your salvation. I've seen this one Jesus. And now I can die in peace." You know, God had told, the angels had told, rather, the shepherds, that it would be peace on earth. And that peace on earth hasn't come. And I believe one of the reasons it hasn't came is because you cannot have peace without, if you don't want the Prince of Peace in your life. But here's the beautiful thing I love about being a Christian. If you let the Prince of Peace, which is Jesus, come into your life, there's two things that the Bible teaches us will happen. You'll have peace with God. Peace with God. The war will be over between you and God when you fly the white flag of truce that you want to repent. And then you have peace not only with God, but you have the peace of God. And the Bible teaches us that the peace of God, it goes past our understanding. We can't comprehend what that is like. And now this man Simeon, he has that peace in his heart. He has that peace in his life. He's seen the Christ, the one that was promised to come. And I got to tell you, when you and I see him too, when we recognize that we see the light of the Lord Jesus, we have peace in our heart. What the world needs today, of all the turmoil that's going on, all the agony that we've experienced in 2018, I believe with all of my heart, we need peace. But I don't believe it's going to come until we have the peace with God and the peace of God in our hearts. We need that peace from him, and we need that peace with him in order to make it come about the way that God wants us to have. But isn't it interesting? In the world, there could have not been peace. But in this Simeon's heart, there was peace. Well, Christmas 2018, all of a sudden, has become history. We only have one day left in the year 2018. So I want to talk about, now's the time. This year, 2018, as it ends, there's not much we can do about it. Just that day, we can't accomplish what we hope to accomplish in the whole year. But I love something that is recorded in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I always like to use this when something is ending. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. The end of a matter. Isn't that what we want to turn out? That the end is better than the beginning. In other words, we've made some progress. And I trust that 2018 is something that has made some progress in your life. You can look back and you can say of 2018, I'm much better than I was when it began. Ah, but I know it's painful for those of you that's lost a loved one. But at the same time, we realize that life goes on. I believe now is the time for each one of us to step up to the plate as we come to the end of the year. And as we step up to the plate, I think we need to take a look back at 2018 and find out what kind of help has been in our lives this year. How much help, how much our life is better if we are doing better than we did at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year. I think it's good for us to know. I can see some progress, you could say, in different areas of my life. And you know, when you can see some progress, where you can see you have made some progress, you know, in any business, any church, anything that has to do with society, as far as if you see some progress, if you can mark that there's something that is better than it was at the beginning of the year, that should give you a good feeling. That should give you a good feeling. We can see that. We can see some results. But you know what? I like the wisdom of what areas of our life we could take a look at as we come to the end of 2018. That's recorded in the book of Proverbs 3:3-8. The reason why I say wisdom is because the writer of the book of Proverbs is one of the wisest men that ever lived. And so we need to heed some of the things that he says that will help us. And I like what he tells us in Proverbs 3:3-8, when it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you." Have mercy in your life. Have a desire to live truthfully. Bind this mercy and truth around your neck, saying it's like a bracelet, not a necklace you're wearing. Write some on the tablet of your heart. I love that, that when a tablet of our heart would be written, mercy, truth. Mercy, truth. God wants us to have mercy. God wants us to be a people that are mercy. You know what he says? If you have mercy and truth, he goes on to say in Proverbs, he says, what will happen is you'll find favor and high esteem. Favor and high esteem. Now listen to it. In the sight of God and man. He's saying, are you getting along better with God at the end of 2018 than he was at the beginning of 2018? Or is it worse off than it was? Hey, how about your fellow man? Your family, your friendship circle, just your idea of your relationship to other human beings. He says, are you finding favor with other human beings? Is things going well as we end this year? Better than it was when we began this year in our relationship with people? Or have we broken so many relationships? Have we thrown away so many things that were so precious and valuable to us as we wanted our own way, or whatever reason it was that those things were carried on that way? I love what he goes on to say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is my life's verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. That's what I've lived my life with, some 60-some years that I've been walking with Jesus. Trust in him. Acknowledge him. Pray to him. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know what he says will happen? It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Now, I got to tell you, me being almost 84, I'm saying I need some help. I need some health for my flesh. I need some strength for my bones. I got to tell you, folks, that this old age isn't for sissies. There's aches and pains that go with it that I never knew I'd have. Nevertheless, I'm so glad to be here. When I think about the phrase, step up to the plate, I have in mind my heart that I take some look back at the inventory of how I've been doing in this past year in the relationships to mercy and truth. Have I practiced mercy in 2018? Have I tried my very best to be truthful with myself, with God, and with one another? In all my ways, have I acknowledged Him? Have I asked for His direction? Have I wanted His direction? Have I desired His direction? Ah, yes, and have I departed from evil? I believe these words are talking about my relationship with God and the progress that He's trying to help me bring about in my life. I want to take each one of these areas and ask myself as I end this year, am I doing better in each of these areas? So let me just do it with you. Are you more merciful at the end of the year than you were at the first of the year? Are you more truthful at the end of the year than you were at the first of the year? Is your relationship highly favored in both the sight of God and of your fellow man? Am I at a good relationship with God? Am I at a good relationship with my fellow man? Am I trusting in the Lord? Am I really trusting Him, believing that He's going to work it all out according to His will? Am I acknowledging Him every day? In those situations of my life where I got to make a decision, am I talking to Him after I make the decision or before I make the decision? Have I departed from evil? Hey, is my tongue a little better this year at the end of the year than it was at the beginning? Is my evil thoughts a little less than they were at the beginning of the year? Am I making progress in leaving evil behind? I believe these words that He's talking about is building this relationship. And you know, I love it that what He's trying to remind us is it's going to bring some health to your life. I think He wants us to see this progress is why we need to do this, is because it's going to promise that will happen in your life. You will be healthier as an individual. Your flesh will be healthier. Your bones will be healthier. I think what He's saying is this is inside of us. It's time for you and I to step up to the plate. And as we step up to the plate, say, time is running out. This year's almost gone. I can't do anything about this year, not too much anyway. But I'm going to commit towards 2019. I'm not going to just have some New Year's resolutions. I'm going to commit to have some progress in whatever area of your life you feel there hasn't been the progress there should have been. And you know, with that thought in mind, we realize what God's really wanting to do within each one of us is to have us see year by year, we're beginning to be a little more like Him. Year by year, we can see that progress. And, you know, He's reminding us, if you're going to have that happen, now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time for you to make some decisions of what you're going to do for 2019. Not some wishful thinking, but some decisions. I wasn't too truthful. I didn't have much mercy. I didn't acknowledge God much in 2019. I'm going to do better with that, at that, in 2019. I want to see some progress that I didn't see. And there may be some area of your life you say, I did very well with that. And I think we need to celebrate that and say, no, that allows me to focus more attention on something that I was very weak in. We will come back and talk about that the rest of our time. I will know what it's all about. It's trying to get us to have a closer walk with the Lord, a closer walk with Him, just a closer walk. So we can hear, almost sense the heartbeat of Him upon our lives. Got a song I want us to listen to, and this song is going to be a little different song. I'm glad that Ken puts it in every now and then, because this is becoming a lost art in our society today. This is a man that is whistling, and he begins by just whistling, but about halfway through, you will hear the song, Just a Closer Walk with You. So we'll kind of be silent before him for just a few moments and just ask him, how am I doing, Lord? What progress have I made? Let's listen in. Closer walk with thee. Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be. That's what we need. That's what we want as we start 2019. We've only got a day left. We can't clean up the whole year. But we can make a commitment on this turning point. You see, we're turning point from the last year, 2018, to 2019. And we want to have a good beginning in 2019. We want to move forward. So that's why I'm using the phrase, now's the time. Now's the time to make some preparation as we begin this new year. We got to be ready for a fresh start by being awake and alert. I've always liked this phrase, today begins the rest of your life. 2019, when we started, today begins the rest of your life. God shares this truth in Ephesians when he reminds us, before Jesus, the light of the world, came into our lives, we lived in darkness. But now you and I have been filled with light. Remember, there was a great light shone when the shepherds heard about the good news of heaven? And remember, Jesus calls himself the light of the world. And in John, when he describes it, he tells us light has come. And he reminds us that Jesus is light. So let's listen to what he says in Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14. Once you lived in dark, but now the Lord has filled you with light. Live as children who have light. Light produces everything that is good. That was God's approved, and that is true. Remember, we talked about true before, how you've been true. Determine which things please the Lord. Have nothing to do with the useless works of darkness that darkness produces. Instead, expose them for what they are. It is shameful to even talk about what some people do in secret. Light exposes the true character of everything. Because it makes everything easy to see. That's why it says, wake up, you sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you, and Christ will shine in you. In the Bible, light is always described as it is in verse 9. Light produces everything that is good, that God has approved, and that is true. That's what light is about. Then darkness would produce the opposite of what light produces. And God said, it's even shameful to talk about some of the things that people do in secret or in the darkness. So we get ready to start, as we get ready to start 2019, we are being reminded that we are children of light. And we are to walk as children of light. I think that's so important because of the realization that God is looking for you and I to have a fresh start. The year's going to be fresh and new. We'll begin day one of the 365 days it'll make up 2019. But we begin with day one. We take our first step. And I like to think of it as having the idea of it being something fresh and brand new. And it doesn't have any bad in it yet. I love the truth that light exposes the true character of everything, because the light makes everything else to see. I remember when I was just a young child, about 9 or 10 years old, we slept upstairs in our house that we had, that we lived in at that time. And one night I woke up and I looked, and it looked like a person with a little bit of light coming through the window was near the window. I was so scared. But after a while, I decided I'd get up and I'll turn on the light that you had to get up to turn on, because the light switch was over by the door. And when I turned on the light, you know what I thought was a man or a person? You know what it was? One of those big old winter coats that my mom had bought was hanging on a hanger on the side of the wall. And just the way the light shined, it looked like a person. By the way, the reason she bought those big old winter coats, they were those long ones and heavy ones. We didn't have many blankets, but we covered up at night with one of those big old coats. And I'll tell you, we was always warm. I got to tell you, folks, when that light exposed to the truth to me, that's not a man. That's just a coat. My fear was gone. My fear was gone. And that's what God is trying to say to us. He wants us to realize he's challenging our hearts for 2019. It's time for us to wake up. It's time for you to wake up from your sleep and let Christ shine in you and on you. And come to a place of determining in 2019 what things really please the Lord. And have nothing to do with that useless work of darkness. Remember, he told us one of the things we're supposed to do is overcoming that evil. You see, it was the darkness that made me think that coat was a person. But the light removed the fear. I love this verse that I have that's been a big verse in my life. If we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of his Son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. God makes us clean. I can't do that on my own, folks. You can't do that on your own. We need God's help for that. We need God's strength for that. And so we're reminded, now is the time. Now's the time to decide for 2019. Another thought that I want to add into our thinking is not only to realize that we're walking in light, but you know, in 2018, there may have been some things we left undone. So I want us to decide that we're going to buy up every opportunity that 2019 comes our way. I can end a year better than I started it. Now I'm not thinking about New Year's resolution. Rather, I'm claiming God's word and what he says as a child of light. Because he goes on in that book of Ephesians in chapter 5. He says, so then, as a child of light, be very careful how you live. Don't live like a foolish people, but live wise, like wise people. Make the most of your opportunity, because these days are evil. He's reminded us, in these difficult times, is a good time for you to make the most, the very most, of your opportunities that you're going to have in 2019. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord wants. And again, he's trying to show us, get us to understand, the Lord's got some things he wants. Always thank God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same thing is kind of recorded in Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Be wise in the way you act towards those who are outside of the Christian faith. Make the most of every opportunity. I came across a writing, it's a kind of a paraphrase of these two verses that were written in 1912 in what they called a Weymouth New Testament reading. It says this, to the people of Ephesians, Paul wrote, therefore be very careful how you live and act. Let it not be as unwise men, but as wise. Buy up your opportunities, for these days are evil times. And in Colossians, he said, be wise in your relationship to the outside world. Buy up every opportunity you have to do something for this one Jesus. That's what he's telling us to do. I love the idea of buying up opportunities. I love the idea of thinking that way as we begin 2019. God, I want to buy up some opportunities that you're going to give me. If I'm going to do that this new year, there's some things we need to be ready to do in order for this to happen. First of all, I believe we must be ready and willing to pay the price that that opportunity might bring into my life. You see, sometimes we got to be ready to pay the price because there is a price to be paid when you get involved in trying to take advantage of the opportunities that come your way. We cannot buy up on opportunity without paying the price. And you know one thing more about it? I believe we needed to be just a little more sensitive than maybe what was in 2018. I tried to do as much as I could in 2018. But every now and then I wonder how much I missed. If you're not sensitive, an opportunity goes right by. Someone has said opportunity is knocking, but it doesn't knock forever. There's a period of time and it's soon gone. We must be sensitive to the opportunity that God brings our way, because that's the way I believe it works. I believe God brings opportunities our way to be able to help us. I do not have the answer as to why I have noticed in my lifetime some people seem to take advantage of the opportunities that come their way, and others don't even seem to hardly recognize them. They just pass by those opportunities without doing a single thing, without accomplishing those opportunities that God sent our way. You know, one of the things I think is involved in this is we got to be willing to take another bigger step of faith, to believe that God wants to use us, to believe that God is leading us, to believe that God is directing us. There's a song that I really come to like a part of it. It's talking about the idea, God wouldn't ask you to do it if it couldn't be done. And because it can be done, God's asking you to do it. But you know what it takes on my part and your part? It takes our willingness to take a risk. When's the last time you took a risk? You know, I told you at the beginning of the broadcast, I had played the part of a shepherd for Christmas Eve. The church was full. You know, I'm 83, almost 84 in February. And all of a sudden, when I was thinking about that, you know, every now and then you draw a senior moment when you get in your 80s. Have you noticed that, folks? Somebody said to me the other day, you don't have to wait to 80 to do that. Every now and then, a name won't come back to me. Every now and then, just draw a blank. And there's a lot in that story, and I added some things at the end of the story to make it meaningful for our day and age. And you know something? All of a sudden, when I seen all those people, and I very seldom get nervous when I get ready to speak in front of people, but all of a sudden I was wondering, what if I have a senior moment? Can I just say I had a senior moment just then? I don't really want to do that. You know, I was thinking about that earlier in the day, so I wrote up some little cues for me, some different move from one thing to the next in a story. I had some little things that could remind me where I was going next. And the ones that had the sheep there, Lizzie, I gave it to the mom of the family. And she was going to kind of, if I needed a little prompting, she'd give me a little prompting. Well, I got to tell you, folks, we went through that whole thing and I didn't need any prompting. But have you, that was a risk. When's the last time you took a risk? I don't know for sure if I can do this, but I'm sure willing to do it. So I'm going to say this is one of the things that we need for 2019. If it wasn't too much of this way in 18, let's see if we can improve it in 19. Are you willing to take a risk? Are you willing to try something that you don't feel just so secure about? Are you willing to move into that avenue of your life? Are you willing to say, I know I don't have it, but I want it. I want to close with some words of the Apostle Paul. And you know, this first portion of Scripture in Philippians, there's probably going to be thousands of churches today that's gathered together to worship, that they're going to use these verses in the book of Philippians. I'm so glad the Spirit of God led Paul to say these things. He was a wonderful missionary. God had used him in a tremendous way. And he's writing to the church of Philippi, and he's trying to challenge them to move forward. And he gives some things from his life. Let me just share where it says, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. I'm not saying, Paul has said, that I have this all together. This is a paraphrase now. That I have made it. But I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself as an expert of all of this. But I've got my eyes on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward and forward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep our focus on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than that total commitment to God, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. It's possible for you to see this. Now we're on the right track. Now we're on the right track. Let's stay on it. Let's stay on it. You've made some progress in 2018. I believe most people have a strong desire to make more progress in 2019 as we move forward. But Paul is saying we come to this place where we realize we haven't arrived yet. We're well on our way. But the ones that I feel sorry for and scared for today is those that think they've already made it. They think there's no room for improvement in their life. They think they're pretty good at what they do. I tell you, folks, that's a dangerous place to find yourself, and Paul knew that. And then he's saying this, you know what? I know that God has reached out for me, and I want to reach out to do what God has reached out to me to accomplish. I want to keep my eyes on the goal. I don't want to be satisfied, well, that's good enough. That's okay for now. I want to move forward, he's saying. And not only that, he's given us the idea that he wants us to do the same. Do not allow yourself to become a prisoner of your past. Please don't allow yourself to do that. The goal is let God help us get past our past. because I've said this so many times when I was preaching, God wants us to get past our past because God is more interested in our future than he is our past. Even if you feel like a failure in 2018, let's not camp there. Let's not stay there. Let's move forward. Let's dare to take a risk and do something else. Remember, there's no shortcuts, folks. There's no such shortcuts whatsoever. And I hope that you signed on for the long haul, not just for the first 20 days or so. And you know, like many of the sport game, there's one thing that makes the difference between a player and a good player. And you know what that is? His follow-through. When he swings the bat, he doesn't stop as soon as he hits the ball. The follow-through is what helps. If you go golfing, the follow-through is what helps. If you go bowling, you don't stop your hand as soon as the ball leaves your hand. You follow through. And that's what Paul is saying. I want you to have some follow-through. I want you to know that if you want to be successful, that I want you to not only start well, but I want you to finish well. And that's what Paul is trying to do. I love it so much because you know what he said to the young man Timothy, the same man that wrote these words that I've just been talking about. He said to the young man Timothy, I finished my fight. I've kept the course. I've kept the faith. God wants us to be finishers. And God wants 2019 in your life to be a year whereby you're going to, through the course of that year, there's going to be so many improvements that come into your life that it's going to be such a blessing for you to be able to hang on to the promises that God has made and the things that he has showed to each one of us. And that's going to be something that's going to keep you going. Let's see if I can get this song to come on. We got a song in closing that's telling us, as many times as Satan or anybody else tries to tell you you're not doing good, you tell them the times that Jesus says I am. Jesus is God with me. God bless you. Happy New Year.
We're 2018. All the same here on life's journey. We have a past we've left behind, a brand new name, a home in glory. We look ahead, we've seen the light. Still every day, we rise to battle the tempter's voice of past regret, recalling ways we lost the struggle, the promises we never kept. Oh, but there's hope. Let me encourage you with a plan that works for me. I speak the cross, the blood of Jesus, and that accuser has to flee.
So as many times
as Satan points me to my sin,
I will remind,
yes, I'll remind him
that it's gone.
Times as he reminds me where I've been, that's how many times I point him to the cross.
So don't lose heart, oh weary Christian. You can find your strength in this. There's no power in accusation. Oh, when that sin does not exist.
Satan points me to my sin,
I will remind,
yes, I will remind him
that it's
remind
gone.
That it's gone.
As many times
as he reminds me where I've been, that's how many times I'm pointing to the cross.
As many times
as Satan points me to my sin,
I will remind,
yes, I will remind him
that it's
remind
gone.
As he reminds me where I've been, that's how many times I'm pointing to.
dance. How many times I'll point him to the cross.